Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. It's a big Saturday around the globe, across the nation. Great racing all along. And we're kicking off a little bit early because we have some Dubai races that we're going to plug in during the show today. We also have an early start at Gulfstream today. They kick off at 11 a.m. Don't forget, because of that, we're starting early here on the network, but also the Clubhouse Racebook today opens at 10 a.m. We'll also stay open until 9 p.m. at the Racebook because it's a great card out at Santa Anita, the Big Cap, San Felipe, the Kill Row and whatnot. But a great card kicks off at 11 at Gulfstream. That means their pregame show will start at about 10. I'm going to have Brian Natto on from Gulfstream talking some of the Gulfstream stakes. A little bit later, Jeremy Plonk from HorsePlayerNow.com and Countdown to the Crown. We'll talk all the three-year-old action, and there are great three-year-old stakes on the Derby trail across the country today. As I say, we're also going to plug in some Dubai races, so keep that in mind. This is pre-taped. We pre-taped it yesterday, Friday, because of the concerns about the weather here in the capital region, Saratoga area. So again, we're pre-taping. We will have Brian Natto coming up. We'll plug in Dubai race in the meantime. There'll be a Dubai race a little bit later during the Jeremy Plonk segment as well. So stay tuned for all of that. But up next, the Saturday edition of Racing Across America with guests Brian Natto and Jeremy Plonk.
Outside of those runners, Raise a Hallelujah further back in the field, and Duke of Sussex 8-9 off the leader. Castle Town and Johnny Hero further back, and Pyromaniac, the trailer, I'd say a dozen lengths first to last. They've gone past the 1400 meter area. Crimson King is in front and dominates out there, leads at a good couple of lengths to Flashy Apache in second spot. Litigation is parked in third, but is racing just outside of Infinite Wonder, three lengths off the leader with Platinum Sky. Then second base, further back in the field, and Raise a Hallelujah runs behind them. They 7-8 lengths off the leader.
Started the UAE Derby in 3 weeks as well.
Yeah, and the UAE Derby, you know, you've got a chance. If you can run well in this, you've got a chance in that. There's not too many international raiders normally for that particular race, so this can be a good pointer.
Let's see if we can find number 10 one last time, who is the son of Munnings out of a Dixie Union mare, as they mentioned, is a homebred for Jim and Fitri Hay, so it made it even sweeter.
Nice just looking horse.
Lovely looking horse. Just extraordinary that we have the horse here. The champion jockey's aboard. I don't think there are too many, like, you couldn't have a shorter gap than this to get fast-tracked into Super Saturday than winning just on Sunday. But what a way to introduce yourself at Jebel Ali.
Yeah.
Easily the highlight of the afternoon when watching back that racing. Travelled smoothly, won comfortably. The post-race vibes are good. The trainer, there was a bit of a glint in the eye there from Bupat, wasn't there?
I didn't want to
give away too much. Of course
no.
He didn't. But
he probably likes him. I mean, the handicapper thinks he's quite good because he gave him a rating of 96 straight after that, and that puts him in the mix with these other horses. It's just such a quick turnaround.
He knows training better than I do. You certainly do. January the 26th rather than February 26th would have been more of an ideal starting point. But there's only one crack at Super Saturday as a three-year-old. So here we go. Right, Mr. Raj loads up. Go, soldier, go. Is in there as well, and they will be the colours we'll see with Salute the Soldier, who bids to write history by winning round three of the challenge for a second time. Slava Ukraini.
If there's going to be a shock, that could be the one. Slava Ukraini. I think Slava ran quite an eye-catching race last time up. As I said, got a very bad trip.
It would spread the emotions, I can guarantee you that. Right, last couple are going to go forwards. I think that includes horse number 10, Southern Artist, Napoli as well. And with that, we're at race five already. It's all yours, Alistair, for the Al Buster Kia.
They are set and ready. Gates are back. and they sent on their way. Eye on the prize, got a clean break. Amy Please likewise, and Amy Please will commit. Mr. Raj races on third in the early stages. Southern Artist is handy enough and tracks Amy Please at this early stage. Sharp Army and Priyanka are together, Lak Resh. Then comes Slava Ukraini, who races at the outside of that group. Oasis Moon is in the yellow and blue colors with Go Soldier going Flying Hunter for company. And about 6 lengths away to Nobili, who's not with the main pack as they work their way to the back straight. They went past the 1400, and Amy Please is the one in front, committed from a deep draw and shows the way by 1 length. Of a Southern Artist who also got in there from a deep draw to race in second. Slava Ukraini's worked hard at the outside to get into third, and Eye on the Prize, the bright blue colors, is fourth and 2 lengths off the leader. A length away to Mr. Raj, then comes Priyanka, they together, Lak Resh off the bridle, then 2 lengths back to Sharp Army, kept company either side by Flying Hunter, and then comes Oasis Moon, just over a length back to Go Soldier Go, and Nopoli has always been rooted to the back of the field at the corner of the track with 800 meters left to run, and the filly Amy Please in front by half a length. Southern Artist though is just letting her know that she's there. Slava Ukraini's been here, there and everywhere. She's going back through the field. Priyanka's gained a little bit of ground, then comes Eye on the Prize, Mr. Raj. Go Soldier Go is forced to circle horses. Lak Resh, Flying Hunts a few lengths away, then to Sharp Army, Oasis Moon and Nopoli at the top of the straight. Southern Artist goes right up to Amy Please, but Amy Please fights for all that she's worth. Southern Artist is a length away in second, and just a bit leggy when trying to get past Amy Please, and Amy Please went again. Southern Artist second, then comes Mr. Rod, who's doing his best work late. Go Soldier Go likewise, Amy Please crying for the line. Go Soldier Go, Mr. Rod launching together. Go Soldier Go has beaten Mr. Raj. Third goes the way of Amy Please, then came Southern Artist, Lak Resh. Priyanka was next. They were ahead of Eye on the Prize and Flying Hunter. Few lengths away to Nopoli, Sharp Army, Slava Ukraini, and then came Oasis Moon.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. And again, we're actually taping a day before due to weather concerns here in the Capital District, but we live vicariously when we look at Gulfstream Park. And Saturday is Fountain of Youth Day. Who better to reach out to than our friend and colleague Brian Addo? Does a great job down there. The pregame and the paddock commentary as well. Brian, good morning.
Hey, buddy. Good morning, Seth. And yeah, I don't miss any of that. That's for sure. No weather concerns here, unless you don't like it too hot. It is. Well, it's windy today. If you are, it's a little windy being a Friday, but if Saturday, it's all systems go. 90 degrees, Seth, which is crazy hot even for down here at this time of the year. But the weather looks beautiful on a loaded Fountain of Youth Day card.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a second, but I do want to line up also coming up on Sunday. There'll be a mandatory in the rainbow, so people can shop for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow on Sunday. And as we talk on Friday, Friday afternoon, you're expecting, what, $1.5 million in the pool?
1.5 guaranteed in this pool. And I'm a guy that always bets the over, Seth. But I'm going to tell you what, if this thing runs through to Sunday, I mean, we could be looking at a $10 million pool. They've been forecasting six. It will go way over that. I mean, tomorrow we should be a $2 million guarantee, I would think and hope, if it doesn't get hit. Tomorrow, meaning Saturday, it'll be huge on Sunday. And wow, what a sequence it is, too. It is brutal.
Yeah, let's just do a little overview here, because before I had you on the air, I was looking through the card. We're going to hit on some of the stakes races. But as is usual at tracks on big days like this now, the undercard is phenomenal. I think we'll see some nice three-year-olds on the boys' and the girls' side coming out of the second race and the fourth race. Those two look a lot of fun. A couple of maiden special weight event races for the three-year-olds that are fun. But then the seventh race brings back High Oak, our friend Lee Einsiedler's runner that we remember from Saratoga a couple years ago, won the 2021 Saratoga Special. Unfortunately fell in last year's Fountain of Youth, hasn't been seen since. I put him down in the third spot because I think there are probably bigger and better things ahead. But that seventh race is very good. High Oak, White Abario is in there, maybe looking for a confidence builder. The stakes are fabulous. The undercard is great. Start to finish, 14 races and knocking it out of the park.
Without a doubt, Seth. 9 stakes races, 8 of them graded, and you said it. Star Power. I mean, that's a graded stakes. When you're talking White Abario, Giant Oak, Weyburn is coming back in that race. That's a graded stakes race. I mean, there's just no way around it. So, you know, the pools are going to be huge. I would think there's going to be $2 million in the late pick 5. The late pick 4 will probably have $1.5 million. The Rainbow might have $1 million in new money in it, the way they bet. So I can't wait. And like I said, the weather looks absolutely perfect. And quite honestly, Seth, and not to rub salt in anyone's wound, it's been perfect down here for quite some time. We've been very, very fortunate this winter to have very little rain, significant rain.
Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that continues for another 4 weeks, as we will head down for the Florida Derby. Looking forward to that. But again, we will live vicariously on Saturday. And let's jump in. Things will wind up on Saturday. Race number 14 going off about 6:15. It'll be the Fountain of Youth. Nice field of 10 scheduled. You and I were talking off the air. As of Friday, we don't know. General Jim Shug came out a couple of days ago and said had a little issue that made him miss a day of training, but he was back in training, but Shug was unsure. So we're not quite positive. Check the Saturday notes for General Jim. But otherwise, a field of 10 scheduled in here, and all eyes will be on Forte, the returning champion. I pulled up the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly stretch run. We'll watch Forte, the number 4 horse, get it done over Cave Rock in here to, again, solidify that championship season last year. And he returns for Todd Pletcher, Mike Rapoli and company on Saturday. But boy, Cyclone Mischief, who was the dud in the Holy Bull, but tossed in the big number before that for Dale. I'm intrigued to see if he rebounds. And I think Blazing Sevens is going to be interesting starting the season for Chad Brown. He ran 4th in this Breeders' Cup Juvenile we're looking at, but had won the Champagne before that. What are your thoughts on the Fountain of Youth?
Well, it's a compelling race, and it's the best 3-year-old race so far. You've got a champion. You've got a Grade 1 winner. You've got a local horse in Rocket Can who won the local prep as a graded stakes winner. You've got, and we hope at least, you've got General Jim for Shaw, the Hall of Fame trainer, who's a graded stakes winner as well right here at Gulfstream Park. What more do you want? I mean, the race is just really, really loaded. It's also the right time to beat some of these horses, Seth. Certainly no one's going to argue that Forte is the best horse in this race. He's a champion. But, you know, what does he really care about winning today in the grand scheme of things, right? This is a horse they want to progress down towards the Kentucky Derby. Blazing Sevens, maybe a little bit of a question mark at 2 turns. He's off a layoff as well. Rocket Can, you know, it was a nice win in the Holy Bull. It was a slow win in the Holy Bull. And I think the one thing everybody cannot overlook is the fact that the Fountain of Youth is a short stretch, short finish line race. And that can really throw a little bit of a monkey wrench into the equation, especially if you're a stalker closer. And Mage is not a stalker closer. And he was really, really good winning at 7 furlongs on debut for Gustavo Delgado. He's thrown into the deep end of the pool today. But that's what 3-year-olds do. You know, you've got to figure out where you are in the grand scheme of things. And this is a horse that should be the controlling speed in here. We haven't mentioned that yet. There's not a lot of speed set in the Fountain of Youth. And Legacy Isle, who's the 2 horse, he takes blinkers off. And I kind of feel like they realize, you know what, 2 turns with this horse is stretching it really thin. I don't really see them sending this horse. I think Mage is as loose as he wants to be. And with that short stretch finish line, catching some horses at the right time, just maybe he gets a little brave, Seth. Think of Promises Fulfilled. He won this race. He didn't want 2 turns at all, but he won this race because what happens is you get off that far turn and you can see the finish line. It's not the second finish line. It's the first one. That can carry speed a long way.
Yeah, interesting. I didn't know what to make of the horse coming out of that debut victory. That race, to me, kind of fell apart a little bit because there were some notable horses in that looked like they'd be notable and kind of didn't show up, including Lee Einsiedler had one with Bill Mott that didn't show up that day. I will note, however, Bourbon Resolve, the horse that finished 2nd, has local connections. So they're certainly rooting for Maj to get it done on Saturday. Would flatter Bourbon Resolve, certainly. And I'm curious to see where the betting public goes. The 8-1 morning line, and off the buyer, folks these days key on those buyers, but with only the one start, I could see that floating up a little. Where do you think the odds will go by post time on Mage?
I feel like he's going to be a little higher, maybe 12. I had him at 12. I would need 10, Seth. But you got to remember, Forte is going to be 4-5, okay? They're going to bet Blazing Sevens. Rocket Can will take a little money. If General Jim's in there, he'll take a little money too. He almost has to be double digits.
Yeah.
He wasn't bet on debut. It wasn't like he was 7-5 on debut. He was 11-1 on debut. So I'm not sure they come back to him.
I'm right with you. I think he'll float up a little bit. So if you like him, you're going to get even more, potentially a little more value. All right, that's the three-year-old boys. But again, on days like this, lots of great stakes action hitting on the various divisions. And typically on the three-year-old boys' days, there's also a three-year-old filly race, and that will be the Devona Dale. Pulled up a replay here of a logical set of contenders coming out of the Forward Gal going back to February 4th. Number 8 is going to be Red Carpet Ready. Number 7 will be Undervalued Asset. And number 3 will be Atomically. They're all back in here on Saturday. I went with Undervalued Asset being lightly raced, and that the Forward Gal was only the second start of the career. I'm looking for the Chad Klarovich runner to maybe gain some experience and move forward off of that. But again, all three of these look interesting. And Leave No Trace, who won the Spinaway last summer for Phil Serpy, makes the three-year-old debut. I think she's interesting as well. What are your thoughts on the Devona Dale?
My best bet of the day is Undervalued Asset. I thought she ran so well in the Forward Gal. It was just the spot she's supposed to run in, right? You know, they're not going to run her in a 1X that might not fill or anything like that. So she was biting off a lot. You got Red Carpet Ready, who entered undefeated, already a stakes winner. You've got Atomically, out of the Breeders' Cup and a stakes winner here at the Gulfstream Park. And, you know, Chad Brown's got to run Undervalued Asset in a grade 3 facing winners for the first time off one race. And what does she do in that race? She looks Red Carpet Ready in the eye and gives her a heck of a scare off the far turn. And it just kind of said, you know what, I'm okay. And you're going to have to deal with me next time when I'm a lot, you know, bigger and tougher and stronger. And that next time is today. And she's outside of Red Carpet Ready. And I interviewed Rusty Arnold in the winner's circle on the feed, you know, after the race, and he did say, I can't wait to run this horse longer. And who am I to disagree with Rusty? I just think Undervalued Asset, you know, getting a mile and farther down the road, I just think she's the horse. And I just love her being outside of Red Carpet Ready. Irad Ortiz can basically take a look to his left and watch it all unfold and act accordingly. And she's my best bet of the day. And the beauty of this race is that, you know, with Red Carpet Ready beating her and beating her pretty soundly, I'm not taking anything away from Red Carpet Ready by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, you almost have to get a decent little price on Undervalued Asset. She's 3-1 on the morning line. It's a morning line I agree with. I think it's a price we're allowed to think we can get in this spot, Seth. And best bet of the day, Undervalued Asset. I love her in here.
Now, I like it as well. As you mentioned, Irad Ortiz on board. So that may be one of his, what, 6 or 7 wins out of the day? He is just phenomenal down there this season. It's incredible.
Yeah, without a doubt. He's taken it to another level, and the distance between first and second is a little skewed because Luis Saez has been out of town a lot, and he went to Saudi and all that kind of stuff. But, boy, oh, boy, Irad is just basically taking his game to another level. 4 or 5 wins a day, 7 in a row. It's, Seth, quite frankly, it's unfathomable what he's doing.
Yeah, it is absolutely phenomenal to watch him down there. All right, let's go a race earlier, the Honey Fox. Not only the three-year-olds on the dirt, but as I say, we're hitting multiple divisions. And in the Honey Fox, it's the ladies on the turf at a mile. I'm tilting towards White Frost off the return, which looked really good for Bill Mott. It was an optional claimer, obviously, but I think has White Frost ready for this spot. And then underneath, I have the Chad Brown runners, Speak of the Devil and Faith in Humanity. I think towards the outside, Fast as Flight for Brian Lynch is a little bit intriguing, too, or perhaps a price. What are your thoughts on the Honey Fox?
Yeah, I'm with you totally. I was just blown away by White Frost's comeback. I said to myself, you know what, if you're going to beat this horse, this was the time to do it. And she absolutely laughed at a good field of optional claimers. And that race came off a 14-plus month layoff. It's Bill Mott. It's Junior Alvarado. They're just having their way down here during the championship meet. And you know what? Maybe she catches Speak of the Devil at the right time. I'm not going to fight anyone that says Speak of the Devil's a better horse. But Speak of the Devil hasn't been out since June. She stubbed her toe at even money in the Just the Game, grade one. And maybe she needs this race. And the other thing, too, Seth, you know, White Frost has seemingly got a tactical advantage on her as well. She'll be ahead of her entering the far turn, and you don't want to drop too far out of it on this turf course. So I think White Frost is in a great spot here to win another graded stakes at Gulfstream Park. Because don't forget, she won the Swedish Chant last year, I should say in 2021, as a three-year-old filly. So she likes it around here, two for two over this turf course.
And, you know, we mentioned Iron Ortiz and his good meet. Bill Mott having a really good meet, including a good last, week. The stake down at Gulfstream to kind of cap off a day as he wins one of the stakes over in Saudi. And I'll get your opinion. I was here watching it live. And again, you and I are both friends with Lee Einsiedler. Oh, that was a brutal beat for Casa Creed.
Yeah, poor Lee. I like Giant Oak on that Fountain Youth card. But Casa Creed, 2 years in a row for Casa Creed for him. Oh. So he's such a cool horse. And Lee and Bill, and they've done such a good job with him. He runs on anything. He runs short. He runs long. He runs one turn. He runs two turns. He's a cool, cool dude. And, you know, he'll get his due in one of these spots like he did last year.
Oh, it was that was just brutal. I fell for him because he seemed to have the momentum and then just comes up a smidge short. All right, let's look at one more. The fifth at Gulfstream on Saturday afternoon is the Colonel Liam. I believe this was previously the Palm Beach, and it's that subdivision.
It was.
I like quite a bit. Three-year-olds on turf, and I always say, from early in the year until late in the year, almost every venue in the country seems to have a nice stakes race for these three-year-olds on the turf. It's a lot of fun. And in here, I tilted towards Santorini, going out for Todd Pletcher off the maiden breaker last time, a series of improving numbers. But I thought Dude in Colorado, the other Pletcher, could be playable as well. OK Boomer and Baloney, the Chad Brown runner coming in from Europe, I think is also interesting. Your thoughts on the Colonel Liam?
Tricky race, isn't it? And I know you like this division, and this is a pretty solid group. Not a lot of speed, and Dude in Colorado set the fractions last time. I would expect him to do the same under IRAD from this wide draw. Bapio chased him last time, but he's going to take blinkers off. I liked Bapio's race. I like Dude in Colorado's race, too. But Bapio hadn't been out since October in a race he probably needed, and you saw him entering the far turn, and Dude in Colorado finally kind of shook him a little bit, but I thought he held on pretty nicely. I think he's only going to improve off that return, and it's not a big sample, but when the Cassie Barn takes blinkers off, they're 5-for-10, and I think that might allow Bapio to settle just a little bit more and maybe turn the tables on Dude in Colorado and therefore upset this race, which is a good race. OK Boomer's got to answer the question, can he double up on such a big win? Without Lasix, Bluebird's Over is coming back off a grade three win at Woodbine. Santorini's got to face winners. There's a lot of things going on in and of this race. And Chad and Mike Dove have got Baloney, first time in the U.S. So it's an intriguing race, Seth, and I think there's several different ways to go. And whoever is going to be the favorite will be a very tepid one.
Yeah, again, a division I like quite a bit, and maybe we'll start to define things a little bit as we head into the middle portion of the year where it starts to get a lot of fun as well. Brian, really appreciate it. I know you guys down there very busy, obviously, coming into this big card on Saturday. Again, the mandatory pay and the rainbow coming up on Sunday. So we wanted to give a little heads up to everybody to keep an eye out for some of these runners on Saturday and start handicapping for Sunday as well. Brian, appreciate it. Good luck to you and everybody down at Gulfstream. Have fun, and we'll see you in about a month.
Seth, I appreciate it. Thanks to you and everyone back home as well. And you beat me to the pot on that one. Can't wait to see you guys down here for Florida Derby 4 weeks from Fountain Youth Day. So take care. Stay warm. We'll see you soon, Seth.
Looking forward to it. Brian Addo from Gulfstream Park.
This is a championship meet. all the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back again. It is a big day around the globe, across the country, and that includes a lot of great three-year-old action. And whenever there's great three-year-old action in this lead-up to the Derby and the Triple Crown, who better to reach out to than our friend Jeremy Plonk, who does the great Countdown to the Crown package that you can find online every Friday, previews and reviews that keep you up to date with all of that sophomore action. And As I said, I thought we'd reach out today with the Fountain of Youth, the San Felipe, the Gotham, and more. Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be with you. I thought you were going to say I was sophomore, but we've got the sophomore action this weekend. Looking forward to it. After 18 years of doing Countdown to the Crown, I don't know if I've gotten to the first weekend of March, Seth. This quite confused. There is not a lot of clarity to the top of the division. Hopefully we find some of it this week.
Well, the last couple of years, it seems like that. And I think it's just the way the game has changed a little bit. I mean, you know, looking back in recent weeks with the sad news about John Veitch, I think we all look back at Aladar and Affirmed and realize those two met 10 times. And a number of those were as two-year-olds. And that just doesn't happen anymore.
No, you're not going to get that kind of rivalry. But, you know, at least we'd like to see some of our contenders since the first Saturday in November, right? I mean, we're all the way to March now. That's a long time on the calendar, but we get to see Forte back this week. The three-year-old fillies who were the stars last year have all tanked in their return. So let's see what this big colt can do, and Blazing Sevens as well in his first start of the year.
Yeah, looking forward to it. We'll talk about that in a minute. Also want to get back and get some thoughts on last week. And, again, I'll tout Countdown to the Crown. People can pull that up as you preview the stakes action, the three-year-old side, review the stakes action. But, as we lead into it, some of the important maiden races and allowance races as well. And before I get into any of that, just give us a little overview of what's happening at horseplayernow.com for folks who may be interested in picking up some of that information.
Yeah, come check our night school archives. Of course, we have 8 years' worth of fan education program there that's all free to access. So if you're newer to playing or you want some nuances with specific types of approaches or wagers, we've had 500 guests over the years in night school, and all those archives are there. So I like to let people know that that's still there. You can find it on YouTube, but you can also find it on our website with all of the podcasts and videos that we did over the years. So look forward to that. Our Race of the Week analysis has been humming along about a $2,500 profit if you've been following along on our Race of the Week throughout the course of 2023. So that's going well. Go check that out. We've got Race of the Week is the Gulfstream Park Mile this week, and you can get that analysis free at the website. And Countdown to the Crown. I'm kind of slowing down a little bit as I get older. I'm not doing quite as many projects as I once did, but hopefully we're doing the ones that we do as effective as ever.
The one I want you to bring back, and I'm sure a lot of folks out there remember it, and it wasn't just Saratoga, but you guys used to pop in with the tent out in the backyard and give advice, and you kept track. You had a couple of betting windows there, and you guys would keep track of how people were doing at the betting windows. That was a great project you guys did that I think helped a lot of, particularly at Saratoga in the backyard, a lot of people, you were introducing them and getting them into the game in a way that would keep them in the game.
Yeah, the night school tour that we did, and then we did it in conjunction with the Jockey Club for a season. Effective. I mean, we went around to, I want to say, 23 tracks 1 year, and we're in the 20s overall of the number of visits that we made, and, you know, not counting the repeat visits, but we were to a lot of different places. Some days, some Saturdays, we hit the point where we had three tracks at the exact same time with three different crews. So it was a lot. It was a stress on the family and on individuals to travel that much. But I really enjoyed it for the 3-4 seasons that we did it. And if somebody else wants to come along and bounce around, I'd be happy to consult and give them ideas on how to do it best, because we really did have a successful run there, and we had a lot of people who learned the game. We would do a 2 or 3 day stand sometimes, and people would come back the second and third day. You know, people had never been to the track the first day, and then they're back Saturday, they're back Sunday, and that's what it's all about. You know, getting people who have an interest to take flight with that interest, and we were successful with that. And I'm really proud of the whole team that was part of those traveling troops. You know, Joe was involved with that, Joe Christofek, and Brian Spencer, Brian Natto, Jill Byrne, Kate and Bradar, a bunch of us. Angela Herman, who's now down at the Gulfstream, did some with us. Katie Micolay, from Keeneland. Just a lot of people were involved in those over the years and really did a good job in helping us out. Our harness guy, Tom Kelly, did a great job. He was really good hands-on teacher to people, and he was an outstanding teammate as well.
Yeah, you should be proud of it, because, as I say, it was a really nice project that I think helped a lot of people get into the game in the right way. All right, let's get to the countdown to the crown, and as I say, we'll preview some of the nice stakes action coming up on Saturday afternoon. We're taping this on Friday, I should mention, so if we mention something awry, that's the reason. One of the General Jim, I think we're still unsure about coming up, so we'll keep our eyes open on that. But let's go back and take a look at last week. And again, people can get the reviews and the previews on Countdown to the Crown, and you've taken a look looking back at the Rebel, and I'd like your thoughts there, because we're going to watch the stretch run. It's going to be number 7 Confidence Game, getting it done. Number 3 Red Route 1, for the second race in a row, comes from out of the clouds to run very, very well for Steve Asmussen. Reincarnate runs 3rd in here, coming in from Southern California on the barn transfer for Bob Baffert. But Confidence Game runs big. Give me your thoughts on the results of the Rebel, particularly given that Confidence Game came out of that LeCompte, which is proving to be very tough, and Instant Coffee won that one. So this result kind of flatters Instant Coffee as well.
Yeah, and Instant Coffee's been my top-ranked 3-year-old since he won the LeCompte. And, you know, he got kind of that first call amongst the big 3-year-olds last year to get a victory. He won the Kentucky Jockey Club last year, and then when he won the LeCompte, that kind of, you know, made him the one to me who was the target. And the fact that Confidence Game came out of a 3rd in that race in the LeCompte, where he wasn't very competitive, honestly, to win nicely in the Rebel Stakes kind of says to me that I think the Fairgrounds horses have an edge over what we're seeing at Oaklawn right now. Remember, Oaklawn's 3 races into their series. The first race, the formation runner for Brad Cox, was a horse, Victory Formation, was a horse coming from Fairgrounds. The second in the series was Arabian Knight for Bob Baffert, coming from out of town, and he won the Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn. And then their 3rd race in their series was just last week, the Rebel Stakes, again won by another out-of-towner, the Fairgrounds-based Confidence Game. So the Oaklawn horses have not held serve in any of the 3 preps to this point. To me, that's not a great sign for the strength of that particular region this year. And there are some years where I'm absolutely in love with the Oaklawn horses, so it's not any sort of regional bias. But I think the Fairgrounds horses are pretty good right now, and I think this win by Confidence Game underscores that fact. And he ran well. Now, it's a sloppy track race, so some horses aren't going to like it. Some are going to relish it. We saw not too long ago, what was it, 2016, with Exaggerator from the same outfit, Don't Tell My Wife Stables, one of the great names of a stable there is, joining forces with Keith DeSormo, and relishing the slop. Exaggerator was that way back in 2016. Bobby Track, the reins hit right before the Derby, ran a good second. Monsoon at the Preakness, he won in the slop there. So some horses just like it, and some horses will relish it, and others will kind of, you know, just float across it and not really get into it. So Confidence Game is obviously a horse now who does like the slop. I think he's a decent 3-year-old. I mean, he's going to be a Kentucky Derby horse. He's got the 50 points to qualify so long as he stays healthy. And you know, a little bit of a versatile pace style. You know, he doesn't come from that far off of it. He's been forward in some races. So overall, pretty good race for him. Red Route 1, the runner-up's probably the horse I'm most interested in out of this race moving forward. I mentioned with Jeff Siegel on a podcast we do together each week that I think Red Route 1 is a lot like Creator for Steve Asmussen, who was in that same crop, I believe, 2016. They ended up winning the Belmont that year. But Creator was a horse who just kind of more distance from Oaklawn for Steve Asmussen, the same connections here, who when it got to the Arkansas Derby, you just thought this is his race at the mile and an eighth. And I think that's what it'll be for Red Route 1. I think he'll be the horse to beat in the Arkansas Derby. And then that sends him to the Triple Crown with a horse who really is not having any distance limitations. He's a horse who's going to run all day. He just needs to catch the right field where that all day is fast enough to get to the wire first.
Yeah, Red Route 1, a son of Gunrunner. How'd you like to be Ron Winchell? Ron Winchell, Gunrunner, and Steve Asmussen. And they are making the most of that sire, certainly. Confidence Gain goes up at 18-1. But it's notable, goes off at 18-1, and I think bettors focus on the buyers a lot now, including myself, and the buyers were maybe warranting a little bit of a bigger price, but comes out of it with a very legitimate 94 buyer. So certainly stamped himself as a player, and as you say, Red Route 1 also winds up with a good number in there too. So both of those top two come out of it looking like horses to watch going forward.
Yeah, I would say so. One point about the buyers, I know we have a little bit of time, that, you know, I think they're becoming more and more prevalent in handicapping because as I look at some races around the country, with the purse structure the way it is right now, there are so many claims. You look at a race, and in any given race, you might be looking at 50 different claims in the past performances on a field of 10. And these horses have been claimed 4, 5, 6, 8 times in their last 10, 12 races. It makes it very hard. And then all the races today, it seems like they're writing more and more of these multiple conditions. So it's for horses that have done this or have done this or have done this or have not done that. And so it becomes very hard to handicap on class, and it becomes very hard to handicap on form because the trainers are changing so often these horses, and the horses' form shifts around when they go from barn to barn. So the one thing people are finding constant, at least, is that two-digit or rarely three-digit numerical number that they can grasp onto. And I can see how speed figures are becoming more important in the handicapping process now because old things like class and form cycle and things like that are kind of going out the window.
Yeah, the game. And as we're on the Derby trail, I mean, the old, you know, the dosage and whatnot, which I think was completely legitimate 15 or 20 years ago, but that has kind of gone by the wayside too.
Yeah, and you look at the pedigrees of the Derby horses, and there's some that will just, you know, you'll just scratch your head, right? I mean, Smile on the damn side of Smarty Jones, Boundary on the damn side of, I believe, was Big Brown, you know? Like, you're thinking, like, sprint sires. American Pharoah had Yankee Gentleman as the damn sire, right? And that was all sprint milers. So, like, some of the best three-year-olds we've seen in the last, you know, 15, 20 years have kind of, you know, shot a little bit of hole in some of the pedigree and the dosage and things like that. But some of these horses have gotten there on sheer ability, and sometimes I think the pedigree's still important. So it's kind of a juggle. But again, I'm being wishy-washy with that, right? That becomes a juggle. The one thing about a number is a number. And so 98 is bigger than 92, and a lot of people are just simply gravitating to that.
All right, let's move on to another race from last week. Well, earlier this week, actually, that I thought might float under the radar for people, but was a little bit interesting with the result. Sunland had some weather last weekend, so the Mind That Bird Derby got moved to Tuesday out at Sunland. And we're going to watch the stretch run, and it's going to be Henry Q getting it done for trainer Todd Fincher. He gets the Exacta. Garuvin runs second, and Wild on Ice runs third. But Henry Q had been out in Southern California with Doug O'Neill, and I heard Doug earlier this week on the radio with Steve Bick. And from that, I'm not sure whether this is a temporary move to take advantage of this race and the Sunland Derby and then maybe going back to Doug O'Neill, because Doug was talking about being at a watch party to watch the result. The ownership group is very interesting. The Delmar group, Doug said, includes Nick Cronin, the coach of UCLA basketball, and Rick Pitino, the UCLA football coach as well. But we're watching the stretch run here, a big margin, 14-plus lengths, and a 93 buyer figure. You know, we may have to pay a little bit of attention to the winner of the Mind That Bird Derby this year.
Yeah, and look, you got to get one more stop or two stops really here, because this horse has to go to the Sunland Derby and acquire some points and some prowess for the Derby at a mile and an eighth. It also has to be nominated. Right now, not nominated the Triple Crown. So unless they win or run a good second in the Sunland Derby and they can pay their way in with the late nomination, he's still got to get over a couple of those hurdles yet, right? But on the track, what we saw on Tuesday had to impress. You know, the son of Blaine, you would expect that his three career sprints to start were probably short of his best, and that he got to go around two turns at a mile and a 16th. He got to flex his muscles and looked really good doing so. So Henry Q's a nice horse. Todd Fincher, the trainer, had, what, five wins on Tuesday at Sunland, won all four stakes races on the card. So everything was popping, even the stuff that came in from out of town for him. Henry Q, definitely one to watch for the Sunland Derby. You have to think that race will get some stronger competition. He didn't meet much in the Mind That Bird Derby, but he did it fast. He did it impressively. We're apt to see races like this at Sunland over the years. You go back and you think of Firing Line and some others who have run massive races at Sunland Park. I mean, it happens from time to time here where you just see a really fast blowout win over that track. So, you know, you temper it just a little bit knowing we've seen some of this before. But in a year where you're looking for somebody to step to the fore, it's kind of nice to see one come out of the shadows.
Yeah, it was.
Fiscal as well, horses to come across from North and South America as well to really boost this international flavour. Atletico El Colano will be going forward as well. And the Soldier is going to be one of the last, isn't he?
He's behaved himself today, hasn't he? He hasn't
got, I wonder if that's a negative.
Any antics whatsoever.
Okay. The owner mates go forward. There are now just a couple to go forward. Atletico El Colano, the big Uruguayan. And Salute the Soldier, the 2021 winner, who bids to win it in 23. Here we go.
Set to go round three of the Almec Tomb Challenge. Gates are back, and they racing in Quality Humor, Fly Jumps, and has lost his race at the start. First Constitution, first one to break with Injazati slipping through at the inside, an alert first run back. Then comes Ben Doug, who races away in third. Sifting Sands is fourth out of the straight. Salute the Soldier races at the outside of Military Law as they make their way through the turn. They followed by Husta Fiscal. Marshall Plan races just behind midfield in the two shades of green. That must be racing around eight lengths off the leader. The pace is on. Cafu's next best. Then comes Sunad Libya. Atletico El Colano, Ides of August racing together. Law of Peace is towards the rear. Quality Humor, after blowing the start, will have to be at his absolute best, a level that we've not seen from him thus far. First Constitution, the leader by one length of Injazati in second. Big Ben doing it there outside as third, just ahead of Sifting Sands. Then comes Salute the Soldier. That's in the red and white colours. A little bit more stacked up down the back straights, and only four lengths off the leader. Marshall Plan back at the inside. Sunad Libya, Cafu, and Military Law all race in a bunch. Then comes a Husta Fiscal. Law of Peace, green sleeves and yellow cap, three quarters of the way back. There we go, a length and a half away. Atletico El Colano and Quality Humor, and they've left Ides of August a long way back down the side of the course. First Constitution been in front from the start. Injazati asked to run in second. Ben Duke effortlessly went up into that spot. Salute the Soldier, not flat-footed at the top of the straight, got mobile down the side. Then comes Marshall Plan. They followed by Law of Peace, Sunad Libya, and Ahusta Fiscal. Ben Doug in First Constitution, lock horns with Salute the Soldier at their outside, bearing down, got half a length to go, and he's got a lot of momentum. Salute the Soldier hits the front over Ben Doug in second. They've beaten off First Constitution. Salute the Soldier with regimental precision has won. Salute the Soldier beats Ben Doug. Third, tight. First Constitution is involved with Law of Peace. Then came Ahusta Fiscal, Marshall Plan, Sunad Libya, Atletico El Colano. Then came Injazati. Cafu was further back in the field with Military Law. Then came Sifting Sands, Quality Humor, and Ides of August.
It was certainly visually impressive. As they say, the number was legit, so we'll see what's going forward. And we mentioned Todd Fincher, who was in the barn of Doug O'Neill, now with Todd Fincher. And again, aim for that Sunland Derby. And Todd is based down there in the Southwest. And I'll just alert people, if you're not familiar with the name, he's a high percentage guy down in the Southwest.
Yeah.
I know he has some runners this season, I think, at Oaklawn. And I'm wondering if he's going to branch out. To me, he seems a lot like maybe Robertina Diodoro was 6 or 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison. And, you know, he could have that kind of – he's had some horses over at Turf Paradise. Once in a while, he'll run horses down in Texas as well, up at Remington. So he's kind of hit that south-southwest quite a bit. And like Diodoro, you could see him step out at some point. I think Oaklawn's probably the launching pad of you know, those tracks of getting to Kentucky, perhaps. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that with Fincher. He certainly plays at a very, very high percentage.
Yeah, if people aren't familiar, just make yourself familiar with the name, because he is a high percentage guy. I wanted to touch on just one more horse quickly before we head into Saturday afternoon. And I have on my computer here your countdown to the Crown package that came out today. As I say, we're taping on Friday. You have your top four listed: Instant Coffee, Forte, Tappet Trice, and Arabian Knight. We've mentioned the other three, but we haven't mentioned Tappet Trice, who is a Pletcher runner that is getting a little buzz. 3 for 3 so far, no stakes victories. I suppose the calendar could still have a couple of points races. You could do Tampa Derby maybe and then squeeze in the Bluegrass, but still have to chase some points. But he looked very impressive winning on February 4th. The buyer numbers for Tappet Trice so far, 73 in debut and 87 in that February 4th race, a 92. And he was on the last Derby future pool. He was the third choice among the individuals at 15-1. So the betting public is finding the Pletcher runner kind of interesting. And as I say, you have him number 3 on your list. Talk a little bit about your thoughts for Tappet Trice.
Yeah, I think we're going to see him at Tampa. There was some talk that Pletcher would run Forte in the Fountain of Youth this week and then point back to Keeneland, where the horse won the Breeders' Maturity and the Breeders' Cup last year. But in the last few days, the talk from Pletcher with Forte has been, from Mike Welsh in the form, is we're staying here for the Florida Derby now. So he's going to run Fountain of Youth, Florida Derby. That decision makes me think with Tappet Trice, then they're going the other way, right? They'll take the alternative routes, which would be Tampa Bay at a mile and 16th, which would be a good stretch out for a horse who's been, you know, dominated that one-turn mile and looked so good doing it at Gulfstream. The minor stretch out now goes to just a mile and a 16th, although around two turns at Tampa. So that's a good move for him. And then the horses from the Tampa Bay Derby have done really well historically in the races at Keeneland, the Lexington, the second stakes, but also the Bluegrass, the first stakes of the meet for the three-year-olds. So the Tampa to Bluegrass is a proven a good path, and I think that's the way that would be prudent with Tappet Trice. Get him the mile and a 16th around two turns first, then get him to the mile and an 8th, and if he's successful in those two, he's a legitimate bona fide Derby horse.
Yeah, he's certainly getting some buzz, no question about it. All right, let's jump into Saturday afternoon. Let's start in New York and work our way around. We're going to look at the Grade 3 Gotham. $300,000 up for grabs. You and I were kind of texting back and forth yesterday in prep for this interview and talked about just what a crazy fun race this is. A field of 14 entered with an also eligible in here. I'm going to pull up a replay because I'm going to play around in this race a little bit. And then looking at the countdown to the crown, it looks like you're playing around as well. And I'm interested to hear you talk about your pick. But I'm going to pull up the debut win from Uncorrelated, Chad Brown Klarovich, big win in debut January 6th. But talking about the buyers, buyer is a little bit light. But if you look at the second place finisher that day, Register, he came back to run second with a 78 buyer and then subsequently won with a 93 buyer. I thought that was interesting. I'm going to tilt towards Uncorrelated, but you also have a little bit of a longer shot pick in this race as well. Talk about your thoughts in the Gotham.
This is a tough race. You've got a lot of horses from different regions, right? You got Turfway, you got Parks, you got Los Al, you got the other West Coast horses. You've got some locals. You know, this is a good mix. You got some horses from the South, the Frag Talk. So, and what you don't have is Hit Show, who's the dominant winner of the Withers. He's going to await the Wood Memorial. He's the best horse we've seen this winter in New York. And so it makes sense you win the Withers at a mile and an eighth. You're not going to cut back to the one-turn mile of the Gotham and then go back again to a mile and an eighth in the Wood Memorial. So totally understandable why he's skipping this race. But his lack of presence kind of opens the door for some others maybe to step forward. And And there's a lot of different options. You know, you got two in here that are former Baffords, Fort Warren, now with Brittany Russell out of Maryland. And then the other former Bafford in here was Carmel Road. Tim Jack King takes over the training of this one, the winner, or the runner-up, I should say, in the Los Alamitos Futurity. I thought Fort Warren was interesting in here because the San Vicente, to me, was a really good race. Only 7 furlongs, but having a meltdown, the winner for Baffert is a really good sprinter. Went over to Saudi Arabia, led every step except the last one in the Mile Saudi Derby last time out. Faustin, the runner-up, is kind of slowed and almost off the Triple Crown Trail right now, but he is super talented. He's like a $1.6 million type who has a big, big future ahead of him. In that race, they just let having a meltdown go. And it was, and Baffert had three of the four horses in the starting gate for that race. And it was just basically a public workout. Like, I'm not saying they threw the race or there's something nefarious there, but it just seemed to me like they didn't try one bit with Fort Warren to run until the end. They let him out a little bit in the end, and I thought he ran on well at the end of that race and beyond the wire. So I kind of think this is a horse that with a little more distance is going to get better. He's by Curlin. The Curlins tend to get better with more racing and the older they get. He's out of a Bernardini mare. Same thing there. So I think this horse is only going to get better. They knew he wasn't going to be brilliant enough to run with Havana Meltdown or Faustin in that 7-furlong race, so they just kind of gave him a race. But what I saw over the last eighth of a mile and beyond the wire, I like quite a bit. So I'm going to give Fort Warren a shot. Brittany Russell, high-percentage trainer. We talked about Fincher in New Mexico. Brittany Russell, if you don't follow Maryland racing at Laurel and Pimlico, then you don't realize she's the top trainer in Maryland right now over the past year or two and really trains at a high percentage. 22-23% is really right up her alley. And so I would not be surprised at all if Fort Warren has some success here. Seth, I really wanted to pick Recruiter on top. I went with Fort Warren, but I have been impressed with Recruiter. I loved his win in Parks, in the Parks Juvenile back in January. And I said that day that, look, this horse is going to be a factor in the Gotham Stakes. You know, he looks like a really good one-turn miler by Army Mule. Cal Lynch, the trainer, another high-percentage outfit. I think Recruiter's got a big shot in here as well. This is a fun race. You could talk me into 3 or 4. You know, I didn't mention Lugan Knight, who won nicely in the Jerome. Flip Mahoney looks like he could be a good one for Brad Cox. As soon as he broke his maiden, look, this one's got pedigree, you know, Arrogate out of Got Lucky. As soon as he broke his maiden last out, Brad Cox says, we're staying in New York and we're running into Gotham. That was a pretty confident move, I thought. And so there are 5, 6, 7 options you can go here. If you're betting multi-race wagers, you better spread a little bit deep.
I'm right with you. Again, as we went back and forth yesterday, I was agreeing that this is a fun race with some nice storylines in there. Like you, I have Recruiter right underneath. I have Slip Mahoney in the third spot. This is the Instant Coffee team, Al Gold and Brad Cox. They had Cyberknife last year. Eyeing Clover, yep. It's Marshall Graham and Ten Strike with Brad Cox. And, yeah, the two Bafferts, I mean, if folks aren't aware, Baffert can't go to the Derby. And so you're going to see over the next couple of weeks some of these horses that had been with Baffert going to different trainers to try to get the points to go to the Derby. But I found it very intriguing that one of them wound up with Brittany Russell, your horse, Fort Warren. I thought that was really interesting. And I forget because I've now handicapped throughout the weekend a bunch of tracks, but I've seen at least one or two others of the horses from the same ownership group, Starlight Racing and Company, go from Baffert to Brittany Russell. So really intriguing addition of the Gotham, which, as I say, a lot of storylines as well. Let's go over, take a look at the Gulfstream Park feature on Saturday. The Fountain of Youth brings back the three-year-old champ in Forte, and we had, you mentioned, had been your colleague doing some work with you at Horse Player Now. We had Brian Addo on earlier, and we showed the Breeders' Cup Juvenile win for Forte that solidified the Eclipse Award. So now we're going to show the horse that I find interesting in here. We're going to take a look at last year's Champagne. Also, the three-year-old debut of Blazing Sevens coming up on Saturday was fourth behind Forte in that Breeders' Cup Juvenile, but had prior won the Champagne over Verifying in Gulfport. Blazing Sevens here is going to be the number 5. But I find it interesting, as I pulled up and looked at Countdown to the Crown, you and Brian Addo are landing on the same horse here with Maj or Mage. I'm not sure, with only the one race, the pronunciation. I wasn't quite sure what to make of that race, which I thought had some interesting horses. And to me, fell apart a little bit, but talk about your thoughts in the Fountain of Youth.
Well, I think the configuration of the racetrack is so important here. The mile and a 16th race on the 9-furlong oval at Gulfstream has a short run to the first turn. They finish at the 16th pole. There's only 890 feet from the top of the stretch to the finish line at Gulfstream when they use the regular finish line, one of the shortest stretch runs in America. When they use the 16th pole, you're looking in the 600s, you know, of feet for the stretch run. So if you're going to stretch out and upset a good horse, a mile and a 16th at Gulfstream is probably the place where it's most likely to happen. That's why I like Madge. I think it's Madge because he's good magic. And
right.
I'm gonna lean on the old Chick Hearn nickname for Magic Johnson. Do you remember? He used to call him Madge when he was dribbling the ball around. So I'm gonna go to the hoop with Madge here on Saturday. I think he's gonna get the lead in here. I think he's gonna get it fairly comfortably. And I just hope they go. Javier Castellanos is riding like he's 30 years old again. I mean, he's really in good form this winter down in Florida. So, and we always know Castellanos on the front end was always super dangerous. Think of all the big races he won over the years with horses that he puts on the lead. So I like the combination. I like the hot rider. I like the configuration of the track. And I think we'll get a fair enough price because I think you're going to see for sure that the two horses that are going to get better, Forte and Blazing Seventh, then maybe Match falls somewhere in that third choice in that area. You know, the public will probably go to Rocket Can a little bit because Rocket Can was only 5-2 when he won the Holy Bull. It's not like that was some big upset or anything. You know, he was 5-2 in there. So he's going to get that back. So I'm hoping that we get a fair price. I'm hoping that we don't have to worry about anything. There are no variables when you just go to the front. The only worry is, can you run that far? And we'll find out with Madge on Saturday. You know, Forte is obviously the horse to beat. He comes from off the pace, though. So if you're going to try to beat him, it's not with another closer. To me, if the best horse is a closer, then he probably wins the race if it sets up for a closer. The way you beat the best horse is the race doesn't set up for him. And if that's the case, then you try to beat a horse like Forte with a front runner. That's really the angle I'm taking. I don't look at Madge and say, oh, this is a Kentucky Derby horse, you know, that sort of thing. I'm just looking for a Mr. Right now, not Mr. Right. When it comes to gambling this weekend, I think he might be the horse for Saturday.
Well, we've talked about that in previous years. You have to do that a little bit on the trail itself. And I found it interesting also your notes on this week's Countdown to the Crown talking about Forte, including Saturday's race. He'll have gone two turns three times, but all short stretches, including the two previous starts last year at Keeneland.
Yeah, and then you get to Churchill and it's 1,234 and a half feet. It's easy to remember, 1, 2, 3, 4, but the length of the stretch at Churchill is, you know, monumental compared to what this horse will have faced up to that point. And if he stays at Gulfstream, he'll at least run to the 890-foot stretch of the full finish of the Florida Derby. But it's still, he'll never have gone 900 feet in a stretch run in his career and then go to the Kentucky Derby. So it's something to consider, you know. It's a factor for down the road, and that's part of what we do with Countdown to the Crown. You know, we're trying to handicap and we're trying to pick winners and things like that too, but we're also scouting. And like if you were scouting, this is one thing, right? Just like if you're scouting for football or whatever, like the length of the arms of an offensive tackle when they're at the combine means something to somebody right now, right? So if you're like trying to project somebody to do something they haven't done before this far out, then look, the length of the stretches and the races that Forte has been in are of consideration. Also note, too, like there have been three or four really good Breeders' Cup juvenile champions who have come back either in the Holy Bull or the Fountain of Youth, including Good Magic, who sired a couple of these horses, that didn't win at Gulfstream. You know, the history says these horses run okay but don't win, that somebody who's got a race over the track at the meet is a little sharper and wins these kind of races at a mile and a 16th in the Holy Bull and in what we're looking at here in the Fountain of Youth. So history says be a little bit cautious of that Breeders' Cup juvenile winner coming off a long layoff like that with this short stretch run. So that's what goes into the handicapping. But do I think Forte's a legitimate top-flight Kentucky Derby contender? Absolutely. That's why he's number two on my list this week.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good note, certainly. And once again, we alluded to it earlier. I mentioned it, General Jim in the Fountain of Youth. But Shug said a couple days ago, missed a little bit of training, back in training. Shug wasn't sure whether he would go or not. And as we talk on Friday, I haven't heard anything definitive, so folks should keep that in mind. All right, out on the West Coast, Santa Anita, the San Felipe, continues the trend. A nice, big, fun, competitive fields on the three-year-old scene on Saturday. I pulled up a replay going back to a maiden special weight victory, February 12th, of Skinner. John Sheriffs, you know, a conservative trainer, gets this one to the winner's circle in start number four, the three-year-old debut coming from an October to February layoff, and did it with a much improved performance and buyer number. I think Skinner is really interesting on Saturday. National Treasure, Practical Move, Hajaji, also intriguing to me. What are your thoughts on the San Felipe?
I picked Hajaji, but I'm not endeared to the pick. I think Skinner's got a real chance in here. This is a horse in his career debut. Jeff and I, like I said, we do a podcast, and we try to find stars in tomorrow. And I remember when Having a Meltdown won that July race back at Del Mar, he said, watch out for this horse who was coming on at the end of it, Skinner. He's absolutely not a horse to sprint at Del Mar this summer, but he's got a future. So I was so disappointed when he ran as bad as he did, even as a maiden in the American Pharoah, because I thought he was going to stretch out and run well in that race. So that was a bad effort, obviously. He laid off from there and came back in February and looked really good in the comeback race. He's trained well since. I've seen some video at XBTV of his workouts in the morning. I think Skinner's a serious player, and I think he's got a big shot in here if they go fast. And Hajaji and Go Rocket Ride do draw right next to each other in the middle of the track. I could see those two hooking up and going fast in here. Now, Go Rocket Ride has been put behind horses in his training, as trainer Richard Mandela is trying to get a little bit off the fastball and get the horse to relax a little bit. So when he's been working in the morning, they sent horses out in front of him and tried to get this horse to relax. So if that happens and Go Rocket Ride does take a little off the fastball, then that is going to give the front to Hajaji, who's fast enough to take it and go with it. Another workout note, and this is why I ended up with Hajaji, I'll be honest with you. I went and watched his last workout, and he was working heads up with Laurel River, who was the favorite for the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile last year, or one of the favorites for the Dirt Mile. And Laurel River, you know, grade one winner at Del Mar, big-time older horse. Hajaji just pulled away from him and made him look poor over the last 20, 30, 40 yards of their workout. I thought it was a monster work for Hajaji. We'll see this one stretch back out for the first time since October, but looked really good sprinting in the maiden win last time. I'm going with Hajaji, but I'm not absolutely sold on it because I could see an easy scenario where Go Rocket Ride doesn't relax. The two of those go out there and just knock each other to pieces. And so if that's the case, a horse like Skinner from Off the Pace, Chase the Chaos from Off the Pace isn't too bad from the Tapita races, the El Camino Real Derby. He's a closer that if it goes really fast, you want to keep an eye on. And, you know, if you're betting Trizer Super, National Treasure just seems like the kind of horse who hits the board no matter what happens. He may not win the race, but you would have to think National Treasure is a part of any supers.
Yeah, certainly, as I say, a fun competitive race. And finally, at Turfway on Saturday night, the John Battaglia, bring that up, and we have to mention last year's Derby winner ran in the Battaglia. Rich Strike wound up running fourth in this race last year. But I wanted you to talk a little bit about this because, again, reading the preview on Countdown to the Crown, and we've already talked about it a little bit, the horse that you're kind of tilting towards, Bromley, 5-1 on the morning line, but comes out of that Potent LeCompte.
Yeah, the LeCompte Stakes down at Fairgrounds at a mile and a 16th back in January. We've already told you Confidence Game came out of that race to win the Rebel last week. The runner-up in the LeCompte has come back two fills to run a very good third in the Risen Star at Fairgrounds. Another horse who was off the board in the LeCompte, Dennington, came back for Kenny McPeak and looked very impressive in winning a really, really tough allowance race last week at Oaklawn. So there is a lot to like about horses coming out of the LeCompte. Bromley does that, comes off a fifth-place finish in that race. But prior to that was a winner at Turfway going 6 on the synthetic. So we know this Son of Mastery can handle the synthetic there at Turfway. We'll see if he can handle the mile and a 16th distance. This is a stretch out, but he's coming out of a good race. He's got a win over the track. Gerardo Corrales, one of the top riders there at Turfway. So you're getting somebody who's used to having success there on the synthetic. So I'll take my shot with Bromley in the John Battaglia Memorial.
Very good. Jeremy, always fun conversation. And again, glad we got you plugged in. We had you scheduled for a couple of weeks, a couple of times earlier already on the Derby Trail. Had some technical difficulties, but we picked a bang-up week to connect. We will certainly talk again as we head to the Derby and the Triple Crown because there's going to be a lot of great action still to come up. But we appreciate the thoughts. Tell people to stop by Countdown to the Crown, horseplayernow.com. And as I say, we will talk again.
I appreciate you having me. Anytime.
Jeremy Plonk, horseplayernow.com.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Thanks to our friend Jeremy Plonk for joining us this morning, talking some of the three-year-old action. Does the great countdown to the Crown product. Again, you can catch that every Friday online with reviews and previews of the three-year-old stakes and important allowance races as well. And earlier, thanks to Brian Addo from Gulfstream. Great day of racing ahead. Thanks for joining us this morning. Hopefully we gave you some good ideas. Don't forget, Clubhouse Racebook opens up at 10 a.m. This morning. Early start here. Early start at Gulfstream at 11 a.m., so keep that in mind. The Clubhouse Racebook closes late at 9 p.m. tonight because that Santa Anita card is fabulous as well. So 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Once again, I'm Seth Merrill. This has been Racing Across America. I'll be back in a little bit to kick off OTB Live for a Saturday morning afternoon. Usually it's the afternoon, but it's a little morning breakfast at Gulfstream today, so we'll be kicking that off shortly. Stay tuned for all of that. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in a few.
We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship Meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.